changing minds one thought at a time.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Changing Minds Online Empowering Women series. How are you doing today, Jessica?
We're doing great. Thanks, Kenan. How are you?
I am great. I am so excited to introduce our guest of the night. She is a social media strategist, and she's going to teach us about how to get found on social media when you're ambitious as well as broke. So I love that title. So without further ado, I would love to introduce to everyone Afton Negrea. How are you, Afton?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes. It's an honor. You know, I have been a true fan of yours on Periscope, and I have saw you in action. And so I know that the audience is getting ready to love the nuggets that you're getting ready to provide.
So I'll try my best. I'm going to bring it. Let's bring it together.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about how you became a social media strategist.
Oh, boy. It's quite a story, actually. I moved to Italy to be with my husband. We weren't able to come to Canada at the time, so I moved over there. And not really thinking about it, not really, you know, being young and ambitious and just carefree, I thought, I'll just go to Italy and it'll be all good. But when I got there, I realized that I couldn't speak Italian, and that was a bit of a problem for earning money. And for anybody who's been to Italy, you realize how expensive it is to live there. And so we were really starving. Like, we literally were starving. We could hardly afford to eat, and it was a big deal. And then I had my daughter, and I really couldn't go out to work at that point. So my friend said to me, well, why don't you just work online? And I thought, wow, I just never really thought I could do that. Would people pay me to do that? So I got a job as a VA, and I worked as a project manager for a web development company for a little while. And then I realized how important social media was becoming. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to leave all this web dev stuff, and I'm going to leave the virtual assistants, and I'm going to really hone in on social media. And so I started in social media, and it's funny, when I was actually trying to figure out what I was going to call myself, I came up with all these names. You know, everyone wants to call themselves a social media ninja or a guru. And I was like, let's think about this and actually take this seriously. I'm like, I'm gonna be a social media strategist. And even today, people ask me, what is that? What actually is that? What do you do? And they're so intrigued by it. But that's kind of the evolution of my business. So.
Wonderful. Yes. Now, once you decided to become the social media strategist and you were seeing that the social media was picking up, what did you start seeing was some of the strongest trends that people needed to start looking for?
I think definitely just taking it seriously for their business. I think people automatically assume that because social media is free, that somehow it's easy. And people would, you know, ask me, can you do it for me? Or can I get somebody to do it, like an intern? Or can I get my, you know, friend's kid to do it down the street? And they weren't really taking it seriously. And that was really how it was. But I'm noticing as social media progresses now, a lot more people are taking it seriously, mostly because they've been burned in the past. They maybe hired that person that was, you know, low cost or even free, and they realized that it was either not beneficial to their business or actually damaging to their business. So I'm really enjoying the fact that a lot of people are taking it seriously, are willing to invest the time and even the money into it. And it's because of it, it's actually benefiting their business, and they're starting, and more people are making money using social media, which I really, really love.
Perfect. You know, now, a lot of people are like, I'm just going to put everything on social media and get my name out there. But can you give us some tips on things that we should or should not be doing to get our names out there? Because, you know, as a strategist, I'm sure you go in and you clean up a lot of social media accounts. So tell us some of the things that you see that we should or should not be doing.
Oh, goodness, so much. And there's so many different facets to social media. So that's why people hire me, because it's hard sometimes to navigate, but it really doesn't have to be difficult. Really, you know, the majority of what social media comes down to is relationships and relationship marketing. So first of all, you know, identify who you're speaking to and what they want. Too often do we feel disconnected from our audience. We're using it as this kind of one-way transmission where it's actually a two-way conversation. So you have to look at it like, what do people actually want to talk about? How can I make this social? Because social media, you know, drives engagement. And engagement drives loyalty. And loyalty is what drives the sales and the repeat sales. So we got to start with the beginning is, how do we drive engagement? So, you know, look at what's happening around you. What are people talking about? Look at trends that are happening. What are getting retweets and likes and comments and all the rest? So first of all, start with that engagement and that, the people that you actually want to speak to. I see a lot of one of the biggest mistakes I see people make is, I want to get a lot of followers, or I want to grow my list to be, you know, X number of people. But my question is always, are those people actually going to buy what you're selling? I can give you followers. You know, I've built communities that are 2 million people. But if nobody buys, then it's useless to you. And you just spent a ton of time and effort growing that community. So I'd rather people grow a smaller community that is more engaged and is warmer to what and more receptive to what they're selling than to have a bigger audience. That's how you actually are going to get found and how you're going to make money when you're broke. That's kind of the key to it right there.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Now, for these business owners and these people that are trying to make the communities, what are some of the things that they need to start off with to build these communities? Because, you know, some people just think, okay, I'm just going to put this out there and just go with it. So how do we make these communities converting communities?
It really comes down to social proof. And when I speak to people, they don't really understand what that means. But social media is based on the idea of social proof. So if you can get a lot of people talking about you, you really don't have to do anything at that point. It's selling itself for you. So that's where testimonials come in, or reviews, or word of mouth marketing, and all these different things. And so a lot of people say, well, how do I increase my reach? And it really, and they go around it the wrong way. They always think, okay, well, I'll just put up more posts, or I'll boost a post, and that will get more people. And that could work. But what you really want to do is get people to talk about you. And so when I work with a client, I always ask them, what do they have to leverage? So do they have media connections? Do they have a publicist? Do they have affiliates they can work with? Because otherwise, it's a bit of an uphill battle, especially when you're working with the algorithms, it's becoming more and more difficult. So everybody pretty much knows, like, how Facebook works with their algorithm. You know, it's, you know, the more people engage with it, with your content, the more people will see. But now Instagram has implemented that, and Twitter has done it as well. And it's going to be becoming a huge problem for small businesses who need that organic reach. So what I ask people to do is look at what they can leverage. How are you going to get people to talk about you? So, you know, I've done a lot of talks, and I've done a lot of Periscopes on this. You know, for example, Help a Reporter Out, Haro. You can submit, you know, articles to these, to these reporters who will put you in their articles. So you have the potential of getting in front of a whole bunch of people just by submitting, you know, a little bit of information to these reporters. You know, connecting with the media. A lot of people don't connect with the media online. For example, contributors to the Huffington Post or Forbes or Inc. or one of these people, connect with them and just get in front of them, and they could feature you in an article. And that costs you $0, and that could potentially bring tons of traffic your way. So there's just a couple of ways that you can get a lot of people talking about you and leverage social media.
You know a lot of people don't really think about that, you know, as an option, because, you know, they just think about the big three, you know, Facebook, Twitter, you know, Instagram. Well, at one point it was LinkedIn. You know, for some people it is still LinkedIn. For some it is Instagram. But, you know, but with these conversions and all these logarithms taking away all of the reach, you're right. We have to reach out into another realm. Now, with that being said, what is your thoughts on the web page and how that plays a part in the social media? Because, you know, when I'm speaking, I always tell them, you know, the web page, if everybody decides to turn all these social media platforms off, you still have your stuff on your website. So what is your thoughts on bringing the connecting the social media to the website? Please inform us.
Yeah, and I talk to – that's a very first step that I start with my clients is what's happening on your website? How can we optimize it for conversions mostly? And also shares. I look at shares and all sorts of things with our website. And you're right, Dr. Fitch, you know, you have to be able to capture leads, because if Facebook, Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn, whatever it is, ceases to exist one day and you spent all this time building that following, what will you have? I mean, Facebook probably won't disappear. I think we're pretty good at that one. Google+, I don't know, maybe. But, you know, if they don't, how are you going to market to your people? So you got to get people over to your website to opt in. But there's multiple reasons for this, actually. It's not only just for, you know, so that you can market to them, but it's also if you're looking to work with affiliates, for example. You know, affiliates are another way to extend your reach, your organic reach. So what I always ask people to do is say, okay, what kind of people can we work with? Are there complementary industries or niches that would work with your content? When you're, for example, putting out a product or a program, can you ask them to market on your behalf? And what will happen is they'll say probably yes, but they'll want to know if they can do the same with you. So if you don't have a list and they do, the chances are they may not market for you unless maybe you give them some money or you give them something else. So if you can swap lists, that works to your benefit. So if you can go to an affiliate and say, hey, I have 100,000 people on my list, would you market this and I can market something of yours, then you potentially just made a bundle of money because of it. And really all it meant was putting a really, you know, quite a few great options on your website that would not only, you know, build your list, but also build your loyalty with your followers too. So I do agree that your webpage is really top priority.
Okay, so let's visit this list thing for a minute. Because, you know, I have shared my story about the list on Periscope, and I have actually lost 2 speaking engagements because my list was not at 5,000. Now, and, you know, while unfortunate, you know, it was a learning lesson to me saying, okay, I have my social proof, you know, I have my Twitter, I have my Instagram, I have my Facebook, you know, all those good things. But at the same time, when people are doing their conferences and things, they want lists. Well, some of them do. Some of them want your social media, some of them want your list. Okay. But in this instance, they wanted a list. And so, because the point of it is they wanted a certain amount of people, and at the end of the day, the whole thing would equal 100,000 people on the list. Okay. So with that being said, what is a magic number for your list to be that you can start truly bartering? Now, I mean, not everybody's going to have 100,000, like you said, but what is a good number for a small business or a brand to come to the table with to get some traction?
Yeah, my team and I, we look at a few different factors, actually. It's not only just the size of the list, but the quality of the list as well. So we ask, hey, what is the open rate, for example? We're looking for a minimum open rate, usually about 20%. And we want to know, you know, how warm that list is. So have you cleaned your list lately? How often do you clean your list? Like, for example, if people opted in 10 years ago and they haven't opened an email, have you cleared those people off that list? So for me to say, I have 10,000 people on my list, but only like 100 people open my emails, it's really not that fantastic. So when people are asking about this, those are the questions they should actually be asking, because I have done marketing with companies who have a list of $100,000. And first of all, the people that were on it weren't that, you know, targeted for what I was marketing. And second of all, they weren't that responsive. They weren't warm to what those people were already selling. So I don't think there's a magic number with the number of people on the list. I mean, it really depends on how big the affiliate wants it. Usually they'll say a minimum. But, you know, I would definitely say more than a few hundred. I would say like a good starter list is about 10,000 and then working up from there for most affiliates.
Awesome, awesome. So let's continue with this affiliate piece. Now, you know, a lot of people are seeing these pop up and they're like, ooh, how do I get involved with this? And how do I, once I get involved, how do I publicize this? Do I make a resource list on my website? Do I just send out tweets and Facebook posts? Or do I just send it out to my list? Can you explain how you would move those affiliates?
The affiliates, yes. So for our affiliates, we would usually have a swipe file, so a swipe copy, and it would include social posts. So those would be pre-written social posts, which the affiliate could choose to use or not. It would usually be include different size image asset pre-made tweets, especially actually testing the tweets. How many times I received a swipe file that had tweets in it that didn't actually work. They were over the 140 character limit. It would have a media kit, for example, maybe a little description of the company. And then obviously the service that they're offering. So you'd have swipe emails as well. Usually they would be, you know, pre-launch, launch, card is opening, card is closing, for example, type emails, and their affiliate links, obviously, trackable affiliate links. So we'll get that type of thing ready on behalf of clients, send that out to affiliates, and then, you know, track affiliate commissions as well. So it is important to have that ready for them, or else it's a bit of a free-for-all. They'll market however you want them to market. And you really have to be in control of your brand. You have to, you know, some of my clients have even specified you have to use this font, you have to use these colors when you're putting this out, because they're very specific on their brand. Not everybody is like that. But you really do want to be in control, and you want to know how things are going to happen. So it's worth the effort to do that, you know, and it could earn you tons of money by doing it as well. The right way.
Right, right, exactly. That's the point. That's the key there. The right way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you hit the nail right on the head. Now, I want to take it even further, if I may. Now, since my venture on Periscope and Periscope Summit and everything, now I'm being asked to be a social media ambassador or influencer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is also a way that people can go, you know, and start, you know, scoping or putting out the tweets or whatever for different brands and, you know, making their commissions, correct? So is that something that you recommend to people who may have a large following?
For sure. I mean, if you're willing to do that. I think as long as it doesn't compromise your brand and what you believe in, for sure, I do. I've seen tons of people make money. And there are actual websites now that you can join that where you can be paired with these companies. So you don't even have to do the legwork anymore. You just put up a profile, and then they come to you, which is fantastic. So you could earn a lot of money. So it is worth it to have a social media following, for sure.
Yes. So now, a small business, you have this social media brand that you're putting together. You've decided, and let's go through the steps that we've discussed tonight. So we've optimized our page. and we've cleaned it up. And then we went through our list and we cleaned it up. We sent out the clean emails, you know, and we cleaned that up. We made sure that it was targeted. We made sure that was good to go. And then we also started putting out our, you know, Facebook pages and Twitter pages, Instagram, da da da. Now, do you recommend that a brand has a live streaming presence as well?
For sure. And I think that any business that isn't getting on board with video marketing is crazy, to be honest. You know, video is really taking off. And, you know, that shows with Facebook's algorithm, they're now prioritizing video in the news feed. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it. I can see the reach already. So, and what I think is important is using that video to your advantage, because a lot of people that are probably listening are, you know, small business owners, solopreneurs that don't have a lot of time to spend on social media. And really, my goal for a lot of people is to get them to get back to doing what they do best, which for the most part is not usually social media, right? Like they want to run their own business. They're like, oh, I don't have time for this. Can I just get somebody else to do it? But really, video is enabling us to create multiple forms of content, and especially with Periscope. So, for example, you could take a Periscope and you could download it and turn it into a YouTube video. You can send that YouTube video to a transcriptionist and create a blog post. From that blog post, you might have some little nuggets of information, and you can create memes, you know, quote cards out of those. So it's kind of this multi-use content solely with the use of a live broadcast, which probably costs you like 15 minutes to do, which is amazing, right?
Right. Yes, definitely. Now, with that video presence, and, you know, I've been working with Summit Live, and I noticed that when you do video, I mean, the reach is out of the stratosphere, you know, compared to just a regular post. So I do agree that we definitely need to start doing more video, you know, as a brand. Most definitely. Now, what is your thoughts as far as now that YouTube is going to live streaming and things of that nature? Should they just do the regular YouTube, or should they just wait till the live streaming piece comes out, or just do a little bit of both to enhance?
I'm really interested to see how this will go. You know, I was speaking about it with some of my colleagues who are talking about, you know, all the products that Google has released. Somebody was talking about Google Buzz back in the day, which I thought was pretty funny. I'd forgotten about that one. You know, I'm not a huge user of Google Plus. And I find that Google is constantly trying to catch up with social media. The thing is, I think Google does a really good job of search. And YouTube in itself is a search engine. It's not as much of a social – it is a social network, but it's not as much of a social network as Facebook. People don't go there to post about what they did today. So what it really functions as is a really fantastic search engine, because it's the number two search engine in, you know, online. So I'm interested to see if live broadcasting will take off with them. You know, the whole Hangout thing, it's kind of here, it's kind of not here, it's kind of glitchy sometimes, you know. So I think they have a little ways to go before they figure it out. So I don't know about you, Dr. Vince, but I'm sticking to Periscope for now.
Yes, agree. So, I mean, Afton, these are so, so important for brands. And we need to make sure that, like you said, you want them to get back to what they love. So can you give us some time-saving tools, things that the must-haves that every brand should have in their social media arsenal?
Ooh, I do love my tools. You know I do love my tools. so one I would say is definitely BuzzSumo. BuzzSumo is really one of my go-tos, because you don't want to waste time, you know, sharing content that, you know, nobody cares about. And BuzzSumo will allow you to search for content that is shareable on social, so it'll give you a breakdown of how many times it's been shared. But it also gives you really great insight into the types of blog posts that you might want to do. So if you search a keyword, for example, it will tell you, you know, how popular that keyword is, how many articles have been written about it, and how many shares that those articles have received. So I think that's great insight, and so you could just stop wasting time. I'm all about stop wasting time, start making money. So that's definitely one of my number one. In terms of content creation, you know, for the memes, Canva and WordSwag are a couple of the big ones that I really, really love. They're really great for creating the memes, the quote cards. Let me see what else I've got. Mention, I think, is really important. You need to be able to monitor mentions of your brand across the board. So that's a really great one. It'll monitor everything on social as well as all the mentions on, you know, blog posts, news feeds, all that type of thing. What else do I have? Oh my goodness. I have so many, you know, I have so many tools that I use. It's craziness. Oh, you know what? Close is another one. Good one. Close with a Z. And close will allow you to monitor accounts of people that are most important to you. So it really helps to filter out the noise of social media. So you can say, okay, I want to focus on these people in the media or a possible affiliates or partners that I want to work with. And you add them to a list. And you could see their social posts across the board. So it'll cover Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I believe those are the three that it covers. And you could see all their posts in one place and respond to them all in one place. And it also will act as kind of like an outreach tool. So it will show you your emails that you've had with those people as well, and even phone calls that you've had with those people as well. And it's available for desktop and mobile. So those are a few. I could go on all day. You know me.
Yes, yes. Now, Afton, I know that you have all the tricks and tools, so please, please let us know where to find you, and then, of course, your final takeaway, if you would. I can't believe that we're that close to the end.
I know. It's so much fun. I could talk to you all night, both of you. So you can find me at aftonagrea.com. That's where you can find me across social as well, aftonagrea, everywhere online. And you can download all sorts of great resources and tools for social media marketing there as well. And you can catch me every weekday on Periscope at aftonagrea, where I actually love to have conversations with people and actually like to keep it social. And you know what I always say is, but we have to, no matter what we do in social media, disconnect to reconnect to the people that matter most. So that is my mantra, and it's something I believe, and I really encourage everyone to do the same.
That is wonderful, Afton. Thank you so, so much for being on the show tonight.
Jessica,
do you have any closing words?
Yes, Heather, thank you so much, Afton, for being on our show. I learned a lot and was taking notes, so I just really want to thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much, ladies. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Yes. But, Kenan, you know, I always like to end my portion of the call the same way, and to let our audience know we're so grateful for you, and we thank you for calling in every night and making our really dream of doing this true. So, you know, from my perspective, God bless. Make it a really powerful week.
Well, good night, everyone.